You're listening to Mortgage 101, your guide to homeownership with Clinton Wilkins and myself, Todd Vino.
In this episode, we're joined again by guest Sandy Burns.
The cracks are starting to form for Canadian borrowers.
How borrowers are finding themselves in trouble.
And what this means for borrowers coming up for renewal.
How qualifying for a mortgage has changed since the pandemic and why.
Sandy, you are, for those who are tuning in, your expertise is, for those who didn't hear you in the last segment,
residential mortgages.
Residential mortgages?
You got it. From the risk side of
things. From the risk side of things.
Yes.
There you go.
So Sandy works for the big bad bank, or, you know, medium-sized big bad bank, as, you know, some consumers might think of it. Mm-hmm. But Sandy, you just have such a wide range as a risk person of, you know, experience and what you get to be involved with every day. You know, I'm so interested to hear, you know, some of the trends that you're seeing. You know, we hear in the media that, you know, Canadians are just so indebted and the, you know, debt levels have really been increasing. You know, and I'm hearing some reports from Equifax that they were starting to see some cracks there as well. People are starting to miss their credit card payments and their loan payments. You know, historically, Canadians usually do a pretty good job at paying their mortgages. And I think still the arrears are at a very, very low state, at least from what we're hearing. And the Canadian Bankers Association, you know, when they met, you know, said that, you know, arrears are still maybe in that 2019 level, but maybe are on the trend of increasing. So I'm kind of interested to hear, you know, what trends you guys are seeing and hearing and, you know, what insight you can share.
Indeed. Yeah, it's a really interesting time to be in the mortgage industry. And I think I've said that for the last 5 years. And so it's starting to get old, but really, it truly is right now. I think some of the key things we're starting to see, there are definitely cracks forming. And Equifax put out a report, their Q4 report, stating that a lot of mortgage holders are starting to miss payments. And maybe not on their mortgage, maybe on a credit card. Because the credit card balance has crept up there, trying to keep up with just regular living expenses. Or they've missed a car payment. BMO exited out of the auto loan industry because they're anticipating super high arrears go forward. And so we are starting to see those cracks. And I don't think we've reached the peak, to be honest with you. I think we're not going to see the peak of this until 2025, 2026.
Like when these mortgages come up for a renewal. Like
absolutely.
I don't know what the stat is, but there's an astronomical amount of mortgages that are renewing this year, next year, and the year after, where the bulk of Canadian mortgages are coming up for renewal.
That's right.
And really renewing at higher rates.
Completely, because they originated at the super low pandemic rates, and now all of a sudden they're going to be renewing at ridiculously high rates. So we are seeing increases in refinances. We are starting to see folks staying more with financial institutions simply because they can't qualify at another FI.
The stress test.
The stress test. And the stress test, I'll be honest, when OSFI rolled it out in June 2021, absolutely the right thing to do. We were qualifying folks at ridiculously low rates, and there was no way that those rates were going to stay where they were. However, today, we're now qualifying folks at like 7-8%.
9%.
9%.
If they have a HELOC, nine and a half percent. It's crazy.
It's wild, and it's really challenging for folks to qualify. So a lot of people are staying put. So they're refinancing with their same FI, trying to get some of that equity out of their home because housing prices in most markets have held pretty stable. And then we are starting to see those delinquencies increase. And it's in certain pockets. So newer originations, so folks that originated over the last 5 years, definitely. And then fixed income. So 65 years old and older on fixed income. When at one point, you know, no problem, the pension covered their mortgage payment and their living expenses. But now because of the cost of living being so high and interest rates so high, they're really not able to make ends meet.
I never thought about that as a segment that's being challenged.
Absolutely.
We see a lot of retirees in our office. We actually see some people that come and see us before they retire to kind of get their affairs in order and all these things. But you never think of retirees having financial hardship due to the cost of living. But it's not just the mortgage rates.
It's
the groceries, it's the gas, it's everything that's kind of adding up to being more challenging, you know, for everybody.
Absolutely, yeah. And the interesting thing is, if we're not seeing it on the mortgage end, which we're not yet, the CBA is reporting still, you know, our arrears rates are sitting at about where they were in 2019. They will start to creep up, but they're not there yet. We are seeing it on the unsecured side of debts.
Interesting.
And unsecured lines of credit. And again, the younger segment, like 35 years and younger, and then a fixed income segment, 65 plus. The unsecured debt, they're really starting to see arrears.
The climate or the environment that we're in right now, is it unprecedented for you in your for years experience?
In my years experience, yeah, I've been doing this for almost 20 years, and you know, we were a part of all of this pre-2008, part of the market crash in 2008, and then all of the regulations that went into place after that. So we weren't qualifying folks, you know, the ninja mortgages, no income, no job approvals, and those types of things.
I remember
things.
The good old days, 100% financing, 40-year amortizations.
Yeah.
You know, we are in, I think, a more conservative spot now than we were. I've been doing this for almost 19 years, and I can tell you, big, big shift. Like, we were doing refinances at 95%, like high ratio insured, like just so much wild stuff. We were giving people a mortgage if they had a heartbeat, basically.
It's true.
Even
it's
from
true.
Some of these alt lenders, you know.
Even here in Canada.
Even here in Canada.
Yeah. Like pre-2008.
95% refinance on a HELOC, and none of it was locked in. It was all revolving. It's insane. Yeah. We weren't thinking about what happens if the market shifts.
Yeah, because I was under the impression that our banking industry was a lot more robust than the United States banking industry was and is. Is that true still, is it? Or
I would say we are, I would say robust. And part of the reason is we are federally regulated. So in the States, they're very much state regulated.
Right.
So the feds do have some overarching guidelines, but we are really, without question, federally regulated, unless you go into an unregulated space with a private lender or something like that.
And there's certainly been an uptick.
Huge.
I think prime clients have been forced into alternative mortgages, and some of those alternative mortgage clients might have been, you know, forced into private lending just due to things like the stress test, which I think is challenging for borrowers. Like, we see good borrowers every day that we might have been able to be approved, you know, in an A space 5 years ago, or even 3 years ago, or 2 years ago, that now have to be forced into some of these more challenging, you know, mortgage products.
So the stress test today is still applicable, correct?
It is.
Okay, so it would now be up around 9% or something?
Well,
like
it's 2% above your contract rate currently, or a floor of 5.25.
Yeah.
So, you know, the challenge is that pretty much every mortgage now is in that, you know, 5, 6, 7% range. And if you're taking a home equity line of credit, it's 2% above, you know, that cost. So it certainly can be a challenge for people to qualify. And I think that brings it back to our previous segment around fraud. You know, everyone wants to, you know, get a prime mortgage. I think that's what borrowers really strive to do. But if you're not claiming enough income in your income tax, you know, in terms of self-employed, that's a challenge. Or if you're not making enough money for what you want to borrow, this is, I think, when these things start happening. But I think these ones that were maybe on the edge that we were getting approved, and I would say even more recently, like, the approach to bank lenders and the lenders in general have been that, you know, borrowers get approved at a much higher debt servicing ratio than might have been the standard a couple years ago because of the rates. But it'll be interesting to see how these borrowers are paying. Because I think right now they're doing a pretty good job overall.
I would say, yeah. And I think the key there is, yes, we are looking at sometimes a looser debt servicing. However, we're not looking at how much access to credit they still have.
And the unsecured.
The unsecured.
That's the devil.
That's the key, right? And it is unregulated. You know, OSFI doesn't have any
oversight on that
stuff, which is quite challenging.
Now, so there's no oversight on credit cards, lines of credit, and car loans, by and large, from the federal government. But yet they've regulated, I think, to the nth degree, mortgage lending.
Yes.
You know, obviously, that's what we talk about here on the show in real estate, but we don't really, like, do a deep dive into what's going on, you know, in the other credit facilities. So, you know, lenders can just really do whatever they want for the other stuff. Is that true?
I think there's industry
kind of norms.
However, if it's within your risk profile and it's something that you are choosing to do, then I think folks will build whatever guidelines they want to make it happen. But at the end of the day, a risk profile, we don't want to be losing money, and we don't want to be putting consumers in a space where they're going to go into default. And so considering both of those things, it's important.
And it almost sounds predatory in a way. I don't know what you guys think, but, you know, when you have a consumer that has equity in their home, and if they can't qualify for a traditional refinance, but you can go and get a credit card at 19, 20, 22%, you know, I think the system in some ways is flawed. And, you know, I understand protecting consumers from themselves. I'm all about that. But I think sometimes, like, when there's that equity available and you can't qualify due to things like the stress test, but you can get a credit card, something is wrong.
It's a little backwards. And I think part of the challenge is if I'm applying for a credit card, we might look a little bit into household income, household debt, but really it's me as an individual who's qualifying for that credit card. Whereas with a home, we're looking at the household and anyone that has an interest in that home.
And everything's being verified. Like, we literally check every single box. Like, we check every single document.
Yeah.
Where with, you know, credit cards and car loans, oftentimes there's no verification required.
That's right.
Like, whatever you state, they're just taking that for face value.
Yeah, that's right. Well, at a car dealership in particular, if you've got top credit, if you've got great credit, then they will not ask for income verification.
That's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So
to me, that is wild. Just because I'm in such a highly regulated space.
It's absolutely wild. I could walk into a Lexus dealership right now and exaggerate my income greatly, and I have excellent credit, and therefore they would assume that, and they'll sell me that car. That happens regularly.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty wild when you think about it.
Pretty wild, yeah. Mm-hmm. But look, the dealership wants to sell that car. They want to get funded.
And nothing against Lexus.
I
mean, that was in the song, so we won't hold it about.
But I'm just saying that, but this is what happens when you start to relax standards when it comes to lending practices.
That's right. That's
and the mortgage industry has, as we talked about, these loans that you were referencing earlier. And I think it's important that we learn these lessons, right? And because we want to protect A, the inventory, B, the mortgage industry, and C, the consumer.
Absolutely.
The consumer protection, I think, for me is number one.
Yeah, number one. Because
at the end of the day, if we're not protecting the consumer, we don't have an industry anymore.
Yeah,
I don't have a job. Yeah. We don't have a show.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so important. And we're certainly seeing a huge uptick in refinances. Specifically, clients that are at renewal, we're seeing them take longer amortizations, and we're seeing consumers taking out equity. You know, if they bought a home, you know, prior to 2020, typically they have a lot of equity in their homes, at least here in Halifax and Nova Scotia.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are there any trends around, you know, refinances? Are we seeing as an industry more refinances now than we were before?
Absolutely. I think it would be a large part of most banks' business over the last 2 years was refinances. The housing market kind of dried up when the interest rates were so high.
Mm-hmm.
Inventory was low, and people just were not out there trying to look for a new home because they couldn't qualify. However, they could look at taking equity out of their own home.
Right.
And they could pay out a lot of debts at the same time. So so debt consolidation, refinancing, and sometimes playing the rate game, looking at a 1 year to 3 year term versus a 5 year fixed or something.
Huge shift. Like, I think the trend was, you know, 60% of Canadians were taking a 5 year. I've never done so many 3 year fixed as I have in the last 12 months.
It's wild.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting tight on time. Clinton, would you like to thank our esteemed guest?
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you so much. I think, you know, it's so interesting to hear perspective from the other side. You know, I think our listeners hear me, you know, talking about all kinds of different lenders and, you know, really what we go through. But it's interesting to hear what the bank has to, you know, deal with every day.
If you've liked what you've heard and you want to learn more, feel free to visit us online at teamclinton.ca.